Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Give me liberty or give me death. Those are the words that were spoken by Patrick Henry, a Virginia delegate, in a speech that he gave on the 23rd of March, 1775. Those words, that speech has been credited with convincing the founding fathers of our nation to take up arms and to fight the British. His speech, his call to arms, was a battle cry to the early citizens. There's no longer any room for hope, he had proclaimed earlier in that message. We must fight. I repeat, sir, we must fight. An appeal to arms and to the God of hosts is all that is left us. You see, oppressed by the British, unable to secure freedom in any peaceful means, he stated that there was no longer any room for hope. And so freedom would have to be won through violence. And so, on that day, a decision was made to gather those who could take up arms by the command and the provisions of that infant government, fight for freedom, to defend themselves from the growing British forces. For they had no other hope than that which they created for themselves. And so, on that day, the decision was made to create for themselves a hope, to create for themselves a freedom from this oppression. And so they went out, weapon in hand, by their own blood, shed by their own countrymen, won freedom from the chains that bound them. And on July 2nd, the Continental Congress voted in favor of independence. On July 4th, it was adopted formally, and America then was free. Well, not really. They could claim that they were free, but they'd still be oppressed by the British for several more years. But when it was all over, when the battle had been won, when their freedom had finally been secured, they would celebrate the best way that they knew how. Every year they would come together, they would gather in communities, and as one people, they would share this common bond of freedom by reading the Declaration of Independence. It was a document that secured their freedom. Now take a moment and juxtapose that with the battle waged by God and won by Christ. See, in the Garden of Eden, mankind rejected true freedom. He was in search for something that he imagined would be better. And see, we traded our true freedom for the constraints of sin. And just like our country's patriots of old, we found ourselves oppressed and imprisoned, but unlike them, we were on the wrong side of the battle. We become enemies of God. And in many ways, our battle cry might have been, give me liberty and give me death. Give me the freedom that I imagine that I want. Give me the separation from my Creator, for that's truly what I'm looking for. But instead of engaging us in battle, He waged his own battle, not against us, but against sin itself. And 4,000 years later, he sent his only son to fight for us, his enemies. And he fought. And upon the cross, he became the very thing that made us enemies. And he suffered every punishment in our place. And that death, his death, gained for us freedom. It was a freedom that we didn't understand that we needed. Like our forefathers, he too created a declaration of independence from oppression. You see, his resurrection, it proclaimed to all of creation throughout all of time that his creation was free. No longer chained, no longer subjected to the reign of evil, no longer an enemy, but adopted by God. We are free. And as Christians, we know of this victory. We know that it was won by the blood of Christ. And so we also experience an enemy that continues to fight with us, to oppress us. And it continues to try to bind us from the bondage that we know we have been delivered from. So I ask, how does the world celebrate this true freedom? We know that Christians do. The rest of the world, they reject it. Complain about freedom. They respond by waging their own battle in a quest to acquire a false freedom. A freedom defined by itself. One that will ultimately do nothing but bind them back to the chains of sin in damnation. But even though we know this, God still sends us out into that world, into the world that we live in, to spread the gospel message to all people, even those who continue to reject it. And in our gospel passage today, Jesus says, if any place will not receive you, and they will not listen to you, when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. And we read a similar command in our Ezekiel passage today. It says, and he said to me, Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak with you. And as he spoke to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. And I heard him speaking to me. And he said to me, Son of man, I send you to the people of Israel, to nations of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. And the descendants also are impudent and stubborn. I send you to them, and you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God, and whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. You see, he doesn't send us out to fight. He doesn't send us out to secure any victory, because that victory has already been secured. There is no battle cry in God's message, because there is no battle. There's no war to be fought. Liberty has been given. Death has been overcome. He sends us out to spread that message and to call the world to die to self and to be raised in Christ. Our message to to the world is not give me liberty or give me death. Our message to the world is He gave me liberty by giving me death. We are sent out into the world not by the sword, not to claim what could be ours, but to proclaim what already is. We're sent out into the world by the command and the provisions of God to read to all who will listen the real declaration of independence. The declaration that true freedom comes not by the blood of man, but by the blood of Jesus. That true freedom comes not by living, but by dying. Dying to sin, dying to self. And that true freedom comes not by individual independence, but by dependence on God. And by being grafted into the resurrected body of Jesus, by dying and rising with Him, by being fully and completely dependent on Him. You see, this is the freedom that the church celebrates this morning. This morning, our call to action is refreshed. Go out into the world, but not as soldiers, as peacemakers. There's no battleground. There's just a mission field. There are no enemies still to be defeated. They've all been slain. All that remains are a field, and a field are filled with blind, those who have not yet seen the work of Jesus or who have shut their eyes. But we're still called to go out into the field and to proclaim the victory of Christ to both of them. Son of man, I send you to the people of Israel, to the nations of rebels who have rebelled against me. You see, we're not called to judge, but to proclaim. We're not to withhold the message from those who have rejected Jesus. We withhold nothing. Our message is one that we share with everyone. Blind in faith or blind in stubbornness, we discern not. Our message is not one of division. It's one of unity. It's one not of hopelessness, but of hope. So this morning, go out with Jesus' declaration of independence. Go out with His gospel and let your cry be, He gave me liberty by giving me death. Please pray with me. Dear Lord, on this day of independence, we are reminded of the true freedom that You have won for us. Send us out into the field of this world full of grace and full of courage to bring the gospel message to all who will hear. In Your name we pray. Amen.